Good morning. My name is Jamie Lewis, and I am here all the way from New Orleans, Louisiana, to talk to you about some work that we've done with two communities. And traditionally, the data, the availability of health statistics has been limited to healthcare professionals or students who were knowledgeable of the methods and location of said data. And it hasn't been always easily accessed by the general public and those who may need that data more so than others. The need for data below the county or parish level in Louisiana was apparent in New Orleans following Hurricane Katrina, as we began to see the disparity that existed within the parish as a whole. New Orleans is the city of New Orleans is the entire county or parish. So there's only one city inside of Orleans Parish. And what we began to see was that there wasn't an equal distribution of resources. So we addressed, Louisiana Public Health Institute saw this need and decided to address it. And I'm going to speak to you this morning about two programs that we embarked on. So just to start off, I do not have any personal financial relationships to disclose. And our learning objectives for today are to develop an understanding of the importance of community participation in data democratization, to examine how data democratization can be used to empower communities, address community health needs, and encourage decision making, and also to develop an appreciation of the value of community level data. So when we talk about data, the day and age that we live in, everything we do is driven by data. We're constantly bombarded with facts and figures and statistics about everything from gas mileage to calories. And we use this data daily to make essentially every decision that we make is shaped and molded by data. So in healthcare and public health is no different. Hospitals use patient data to track outcomes for quality improvement interventions. Public health professionals, we use data for research, for programmatic purposes, and even as an individual, you may track the calories you eat, the amount of physical activity you participate in. We all use data every day. We use what we know to inform what we do. So that brings us to the importance of democratization. In a world where we don't often, where so much data is available to us, we don't often stop to think, well, what's not available? Is data truly accessible to everyone who can make use of it? And are those who are getting access to that data, are they able to translate that data into something meaningful? And my friend over here, the dinosaur, technically he has everything he needs to tie his shoes. He has fingers, he has shoestrings, but he can't reach them, so they're of no use to him. So it's important that we consider not only making data accessible, but making it useful to those that we are trying to present it to. So just a little bit about New Orleans before we get started. New Orleans is a phenomenal city that is home to amazing food, great music, and a very, very rich culture and history that predates the Louisiana Purchase. New Orleans has been around for over 300 years. So for anything that has existed that long, you can imagine that it's seen its fair share and survived just about everything, from political crises to scandal to natural and man-made disaster to just about anything you can think of. New Orleans has endured and thrived over the last 300 years. So in 2005, New Orleans experienced Hurricane Katrina, as I'm sure you're all aware, and for the purposes of this presentation, I would encourage you to think of Hurricane Katrina as somewhat of a reality show. Imagine having a private life and all of a sudden everything you do is now national news and everyone is aware of it. So all of the disparity that had persevered and exists in New Orleans and had been built over the course of those 300 years was now national news. And for the first time, everyone could see that the New Orleans that I generally see as a tourist is not necessarily the New Orleans that so many New Orleanians live in and call home. So I'm going to talk to you today about two projects, the first of which is the Healthy New Orleans Neighborhoods Project, which was funded by the Kresge Foundation. And we partnered with Concordia And Neighborhoods Partnership Network, which is a local New Orleans nonprofit that specializes in community outreach and mobilization. And also the Healthy Communities Institute, which provided a lot of the functionality for the website that was a result of Healthy Neighborhoods New Orleans. Healthy New Orleans Neighborhoods, I'm sorry. And the second project was an extension of the Healthy New Orleans Neighborhoods Project, where we entered into a cooperative agreement with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Neighborhoods Partnership Network again, as well as two of our local community organizations that were selected through a competitive RFP process, the Central City Renaissance Alliance and the Holly Grove Carrollton Community Development Corporation. So our Healthy New Orleans Neighborhoods is the Louisiana Public Health Institute recognized the need for community level data, and the visionaries behind Healthy NOLA envisioned an open access platform that would be accessible to everyone free of charge, that would provide you with neighborhood level data on everything from mortality rates to sites and services, which manifested itself as healthynola.org, which was the homepage that you got a very brief picture of just now. This website is available to the public or to anyone who wants to use it, and it offers the data that I mentioned in conjunction with a host of resources, promising practices, connections to local and national organizations, as well as a specialized collaboration center that is available to each of the 72 unique neighborhoods in New Orleans, if they so do wish. It's essentially a free website we provide to them. We would set it up and they maintain it, and it allows them to take a bit of ownership in the Healthy NOLA website itself, as well as organize their communities and rally their troops, essentially, to get change done. And so I want to show you one of the unique features of HealthyNOLA.org, and that is GIS mapping. So not only are we providing residents with a textual example of what is going on, visual pictures are provided as well. And in this particular slide, you're looking at data on teenage births as well as education. So you can see that only portions of the map are shaded in, and the portions you see shaded all represent Orleans Parish, and those outer boundaries do not. So Healthy NOLA only serves Orleans Parish, and each of the boundaries you see within are the defined neighborhoods that we have. Those neighborhood boundaries, so as I referenced earlier, we have 72 plus neighborhoods, and I want to elaborate on the plus a little bit. New Orleanians tend to be very territorial, so those neighborhood boundaries are very important to individuals, and they are very much so self-defined. However, for the purposes of the website and finding some continuity, we did work with the City of New Orleans, who maintains a neighborhood map, and we believe that what's depicted on Healthy NOLA is an accurate mesh of those two factors. So the Healthy NOLA team did go out into the community before starting this process and truly ask them, what do you want to see? What do you believe your neighborhood is? How can we make this useful for you? And so with the data that we see, I have overlaid the teenage birth out, the high school diploma attainment is at the bottom, and you can see the scale. And it allows you to look at your neighborhood. If you look all the way to your left, you can see there's a giant red dot in a yellow area, and that neighborhood is slightly more outlined. That's the neighborhood I chose, which would be the Holly Grove neighborhood, which is actually one of our communities that we worked in, and it's overlaid with teenage births. So from this slide, the general idea I want you to take away is that I can look at not only what's going on in my neighborhood, but I can see what's going on in the neighborhoods that border mine. And it starts to beg the question of what is different in these neighborhoods and why are my outcomes so greatly varied from others. So this is a little easier to process and to read in terms of what data we have. And this is the same birth data. And as you can see, Orleans Parish is the brighter red. So that's the parish average as a whole. And there, the Holly Grove neighborhood is in gray. And above that is the Fountain Blue neighborhood, which is maybe about 5 minutes from Holly Grove in traffic. So what we see is that Holly Grove has a much higher percentage of births to teenagers, as well as a much lower high school diploma attainment rate than Orleans Parish as a whole, and a huge gap between what's going on in Holly Grove and the Fountain Blue neighborhood. So this data, the value of this data comes in as a public health professional, because I can look at this and see that maybe I don't need a parish-wide intervention for teenage births in New Orleans. Maybe I should target it in Holly Grove. And furthermore, it allows me to expand my view of what's going on and begs the question of the correlation between teenage birth and the other factors that you see listed. And to me, it would encourage me to talk to the community and figure out what's the link or how are these things connected. Just looking at this data doesn't necessarily give you the whole picture of what's going on, but it definitely begins conversations around truly understanding what's happening. And as a resident, when I'm looking at community level data, we all know that with statistics, the smaller the sample, the more weight that each individual number will have. So as a resident, I feel counted. I feel empowered to know that my stake in, or my piece of the pie, has a more significant value in what's going on. Data and knowledge are great things. It's great to know what's going on, and knowledge is power. However, knowledge and data don't always translate into action. So we did recognize, in working with the communities closely during the creation of and after the launch of the Healthy NOLA site, that we were providing everyone with the data we need. We were providing promising practices. We were providing tools and connection to local and national resources. But somehow there was still a need for further assistance with translation from data to action. So for that reason, Louisiana Public Health Institute sought additional funding to provide more in-depth assistance to those two communities, which were selected through an RFP process. And we received a cooperative agreement, a REACH-COR cooperative agreement from CDC. And we worked with Holly Grove and Central City to go through the MAP process, or mobilizing for action and planning through partnership, the ultimate result was a community action plan. Unfortunately, the funding that we received only allowed us to work through assessment. We were only funded for assessment. However, as an organization and as a group, we did not feel comfortable going into communities that had been assessed and researched constantly, and only going in and doing assessment and leaving them with just the plan and no assistance. So what we were able to do is we were able to link those communities to additional partners and additional resources and assist them in building their own relationships that lead to funding well beyond the life of this cooperative agreement. So to speak a little bit about the results and what we've seen, in REACH-COR, we found that the communities were very similar socioeconomically, demographically. They actually had similar qualitative and quantitative data from the four assessments conducted in the MAP process. However, the translation of that data into priorities differed greatly. For example, both communities identified access to safe and affordable physical activity as a barrier for them. And what we found in Central City was that the community decided that meant that they would work towards gaining a reduced membership to their local YMCA. They felt the rates of the YMCA in their neighborhood were not affordable for those in that community, and it was truly priced more for surrounding communities. So they felt that they would work towards that as a method of having safe physical activity. And in Holly Grove, they decided, we're going to reclaim our park. So they have organized themselves around cleaning the park up, crime reduction strategies, and taking ownership of that park and making it a safe place for them to use and interact again. As I said before, the work has continued beyond the life of the agreement, which is a great thing for us. In public health, we get sometimes we get a little focused on grants and what's the next grant, where's our next funding coming from, and we don't often get to enjoy what goes on beyond the life of one grant as our funding sources change. And I'm very excited that I still get to talk to my colleagues and friends in Central City and Holly Grove and hear what's going on, and they call me and I call them, and we both participate together in continuing to move the work that they're doing forward. And I want to take a second just here to emphasize that it is their work, and it's the work that they're doing. And that's also a great thing to witness, is that you help the process along, but they've been, throughout the MAP process and the assessment process, they have taken ownership of their data, and they have decided what to do with it and how to move forward on it. And I wanted to say that they had a improved understanding of the social and environmental factors that are impacting health in their neighborhoods and communities. The REACH Corps funding was designed for us, was awarded for us to investigate drivers of type 2 diabetes, and the resulting community action plans were very holistic in that the strategies selected, such as food access, blight reduction, crime reduction, were very holistic strategies that once accomplished, or even as they begin to work on those strategies, they're going to see a holistic improvement in not only health outcomes, but quality of life as a whole in those communities. Healthy NOLA, the website itself, was successfully launched in 2011, and it has been up and running ever since, and we have been able to create a process in conjunction with the Neighborhoods Partnership Network, where we can go into different neighborhoods and communities and talk to them and receive their feedback on usability and what they would like to see available on the site and how it can be more beneficial to them, as well as the validity of the sites and services data. So we receive our sites and services data from the Esri or Google, it's part of Google server. And what we found in New Orleans, because we are, yes, 8 years later still in a state of recovery, is that everything that's there today is not there tomorrow, and everything that's labeled one way is not truly what it is. So we enjoy getting that feedback from the community that, yes, this exists, but it's not necessarily a resource, or it's not truly something to link individuals to or be helpful, or something may be labeled as something else and it is a site for something helpful. So what's next for us? We look forward to being able to expand our reach and conduct the action planning process with more communities across the New Orleans area. Healthy NOLA is currently in a state of revision. It is still functional, but we are revising and incorporating those suggestions for improved usability, as well as expanding to another Louisiana community, so it will be replicated, somewhat replicated and different in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we will, and lastly, we are still continuing the work with the existing communities and maintaining those partnerships going forward. And my contact information. Thank you.